everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Optimism Show. Today, I'm really excited that once again, we have Chris Carella from Scout Game, from Charmverse, years leading product teams, and recently actually working on some awesome AI stuff that I'm really looking forward to diving into in this episode, especially about what AI and how AI is transforming everything from software development to marketing and sales and what it really means for organizations out there. Chris, welcome.
Awesome. It's great to be here. I always love talking to you. And now I'm a second time caller.
Almost 11 months, almost exactly 11 months later.
Wow, so amazing.
A lot of new things actually happened this past year. And I'm really excited to hear, like, I know recently you've also been focusing on how AI is transforming organizations. And I'm really curious, first of all, to hear your perspective on that, especially for more traditional organizations, and they seem pretty slow, at least on the PR side, that they're adopting these technologies.
Yeah, I think traditional organizations might be cooked. I think a lot of my interest is in, maybe to step back, even pre-crypto, I've been sort of a head of product or the product-led founder of startups for about 20 years now. And I'm interested in the way teams work and the way teams have been put together. In fact, when we first formed Charmverse, our thesis was even less about crypto and more about the future of work. So that's kind of always been deeply, you know, my interest and our interest. And, you know, for Charmverse, it looked like when we started in 2020-ish, the future of work looked like DAOs. And we built like this DAO platform, and which evolved into a grants platform. And then with Scout Game, you know, we're taking our shot at the future of work being decentralized development. But with the emergence of AI, it feels like the future of work is looking very different, and that small teams can outcompete large teams. And then, you know, as I talk to startups who are born today, which is different than ones that were born a year ago or 6 months ago, maybe even, I'm seeing a lot more, you know, two co-founders and a team of agents, and they can build so fast. And so, yeah, I think the current sort of large corporations are pretty cooked, I think. I think they probably will realize they have to downsize when it's too late. But that being said, I think there's tons of opportunity for people in those organizations, number one, to learn the tools and to be force multipliers. And probably that's the way they compete, which is like having everyone use the tools and be a force multiplier. If you still have a huge treasury and a talented team who embraces these tools, which I agree with you, doesn't seem like a full embrace yet, these organizations can move fast. And so to some extent, I'm seeing that, look, I think the Fortune 500 is freaking out. It's like, even like publicly they're freaking out, but privately they're freaking out, and they realize this is something they need to wrap their head around. And so maybe that's different than previous misses. So maybe they have a shot, but certainly, you know, some stat came out recently where it's like 9% of the workforce uses AI daily, which is like, that's an appalling stat. You know, that is a crazy stat, let alone having AI native teams. I guess maybe that's where I'll wrap this up, which is like, I think traditional orgs are trying to figure out how to adopt those teams inside those orgs. Particularly are trying to figure out how to adapt. Those people inside those orgs, you know, are trying to figure out how to adapt. But then there's this new class of organizations that I think are just AI native organizations that look very different.
Yeah. But it's also like when it comes to adoption, especially like from your perspective, I'm curious to hear, because previous technologies have more or less, in my opinion, followed a similar path to adoption and changing themes. But like AI seems to like completely flip some themes upside down. Like the adoption might not be entirely clear, because now like questions arise of like, is it actually necessary to even do something?
Yeah, definitely. One, ChatGPT is the fastest adapted product of all time. And I think they have like 700 million monthly active users. So yes, to some extent, true. There's been like a crazy adoption that we've never seen before. It makes it like very interesting and strange times that like this powerful technology is just getting adopted in mass. Now, that being said, I spoke to someone recently at one of the big consulting firms. Their job was like, had AI in their title. And I told them the kinds of things I was doing. And they said, man, I wish I had time to play with the AI. I never use AI at work. I only use it for home and personal, you know? And so I think there's a real truth there's just a lot of insights into that saying. One, it's like, even though this person has AI in their title, they're not using it in their org. They're not really using it at work. Probably they were a senior executive, so they've done what's worked and they're still kind of doing what's working, you know? The other thing that I have a lot of empathy for all people is the tools, the space is moving so fast. And the tools are changing so fast and new things are coming out. And, you know, if you're used to working 9 to 5 and you're busy, right, you don't have like free time at work to play with new software, I think it can be very hard to keep up. I think that's where on the individual level, I feel for people, it's certainly a time for growth and for learning. I think that's true of all people right now. But, you know, that happens on the individual level, that rolls up to the team level, that rolls up to the corporate level.
Exactly. It's really like a trickling down effect as the technology moves. And I'm curious, especially on that point, with the recent things that you're doing and how you're really helping founders and builders equip themselves with a team of AI agents.
Yeah, cool. Let me tell you a story on how I got here and how I'm helping people and why. I think, you know, I've been using ChatGPT like since it came out, like a lot of us, and maybe use it for like an email or some pretty lightweight stuff, maybe some image generation somewhere along that path. Certainly like product people use it for their PRDs. There can be a lot of document writing in the product world. So using it to help write products, started using it. Actually, the voice feature in ChatGPT specifically is really great. And so started using it to like brainstorm, to like go on walks and for like an hour just talk to ChatGPT about some problem I have or something we were trying to do in a scout game, and would come back with some artifacts and something useful. That was kind of how I started it. I think that it's like, it's crazy to me that people aren't at least using it at that level professionally right now. But AI was cool. I didn't see it as a revolutionary thing, but it was pretty cool, right? Then we actually had, for the first scout game, Airdrop, had designed this whole Airdrop system. It was a dedicated landing page. It branched based on options that people selected. And I had been like experimenting a little bit with vibe coding at night using tools like V0, but nothing too serious. But I got this like major design task, and I knew this is like traditionally a 2-week design task from getting started, sketching in my notebook, moving the pixels around, bringing it to the team. And I just thought to myself, like, maybe I can do this wireframe in V0. I like to do my wireframes in low fidelity so that the team knows what mm-hmm. functions are before you put it to design. And so I just did it in like a day, you know, it was like maybe even less than a day, like prompted V0. This was like, again, almost a year ago as we're just talking. You know, I asked it to make lo-fi wireframes. I described the whole thing and it nailed it, you know, and then I was able to like, you know, vibe code the interface changes. And then I have a fully clickable prototype. So in one, for something that would have taken me 2 weeks, I have a fully clickable prototype in one day to hand over to the team.
One question over there, and especially I've seen myself developing with AI in the past, reach that level where it's like a point of confusion in the sense of you realize that, okay, you can do so many things so fast, but then what is actually worth doing? Would love to hear your thoughts and perspectives on that, because I'm pretty sure a lot more people are facing that at certain stages of their product development.
Yeah, let me accelerate my story, because then that's where it sort of leads, right? Which is, so first, like, cool, I can wireframe. Now I'm like, oh, this is a really powerful tool. Then I just opened up Cursor and look, I have a computer science degree, but I have not touched production code in 20 years, probably. But all of a sudden I was able to like make small changes to our code base, then larger kit changes. And I realized I could like really participate as I'm not going to say I can participate as a developer, but I could like participate in our code base, in our pretty complicated code base. As a project, we continued to like decentralize and people left or people reduce their hours. And as that happened, we were like just as efficient as ever. In some ways, like when we have a really small team, we got super, and everyone was using AI, we got super fast. And so that was like my firsthand insight into like running a team where everyone is taking maximal advantage. This is like pre Claude Code type stuff, but everyone was taking maximal advantage and was like, wow, we went from like a 12 person team to like a 4-person team, but our velocity is the same. You can't tell any difference. And so that was like super interesting to me. And then I realized like actually can spend less time on this because I now have automated so much stuff. And so as a result, that like freed up a bunch of my time. And I've always had lots of side projects. Right now, AI is like my only side project. And so when I like immediately spent time in first in Cursor, but then like, you know, Quadco is kind of now my girlfriend. But when I first started playing Time, I was interested in Farcaster mini apps. And pretty like people who know me, especially in the sort of product development world, know me as someone who ships. In fact, I think the greatest compliment I ever got from someone was, if we put all of the best product people in the room, Chris would ship first. And so like that was always my reputation. But then I got these tools and I just started building and not releasing and building and new things and trying all this stuff and not releasing. And I felt like maybe I was, and this kind of brings up to your point, right? Like I'm just building so much stuff. By the way, personal tools are really great and stuff that like sticks around, you know, and that's a helpful way to do it. I'm trying to create consumer products. And at first I just kind of thought I was doing it. It's fun. It's super fun. You know, on one hand, I didn't think too hard about it. I just built something throughout. Then I started thinking something was wrong with me. And like, hey, why am I building all these toys? And why am I not shipping anything? And I was pretty overwhelmed by that feeling. And then I realized, like, oh, this is a feature, not a bug, because for the first time, we can build things without sunk costs. And so you literally can build a whole app in a day or two and then throw it away because it's not great. That's much harder to do when you raise venture capital, you build a big team around it, and then it takes you 6 weeks to see the product. And then in 6 weeks, maybe you have a hunch that it's not right, but you're like a believer and you're pushing forward, and you may push forward for years before you can throw it away. And so I actually think it's a tremendous gift and a feature to be able to rapidly prototype and throw things away so quickly. And so that's kind of where I am now. I just think like, no, this is right, because when you build something awesome, you'll know and you'll stop and you'll dedicate your time onto it. Until then, we can try many things. You know, venture capital companies invest in tons of products for everyone that's successful. So like, you know, most product ideas fail. I think that's true of crypto grants and crypto projects as well. And so now I feel like we have, so I think it's actually a great thing. So I think people should still ship, and finally I'm getting around to shipping something soon, I think. But it took, I don't know, maybe I'm on my 30th idea and it's finally like, oh, I think this one's actually really good and the world should see this. So that's kind of how I think about that issue in particular, which is like, you know, I also think back, I think that's hard for organizations. I think it would be hard for a product team to say like, give us 2 weeks, we'll show you four things like that, which is totally how it should work. But that's like not in the DNA of most companies, right? And then I've been thinking a lot about, I was head of product at two startup studios, and I'm getting like, the things we used to say we could do in startup studios feels like you can actually do now. And so at these startup studios, we would maybe prototype 6 things a year, and then maybe less, 5 or 6 things a year. And then we would double down on 2. And so our goal was always to like launch 2 companies a year. I can do 6 things this week, you know? Like, and so like the velocity of this stuff is really incredible. I think I'll just step back. I think it's a feature. People should build stuff. If you build something amazing, you will know it's amazing.
Bob, I fully agree with you on those points, and especially when it comes to the speed of ideas getting like it seems like execution is getting solved as a problem, which is on one side nice to hear. It's like it's getting sped up for a lot of people. But I'm curious because there's this shift of like the focus is starting to kind of go also a lot more on ideas, on what is new, what is unique, and what clicks. I'm curious to hear your perspective of what are the usual mistakes organizations you've noticed make when it comes to actually shipping and doing things faster? Like, what are usually the hunchbacks that just keep them in place that don't allow them to move forward?
Yeah, I mean, probably the easy answer is process. even at a small team like Scout Game, we had a process. You know, we did push code daily, but you know, it was like we waited to Friday to give the demos. So we have Friday demos. Now it's like the amount of stuff you can do between Monday and Friday, I don't know, Friday demos would be the thing anymore. I think that's one. I think, big companies need to plan. I think that's probably another one. Like, you know, you have all of these resources. You need to efficiently use these resources. You need to plan them. The plan is generally many months out. 6 months if you're fast and iterative and like, you know, maybe a quarter if you're really kind of super focused. There's a marketing team that needs to be looped in. And so I think a lot of it is just kind of the momentum of a large organization is it makes it hard to ship faster. It makes it hard to try new things. You know, when you see these AI native companies, which they don't have to be super small. I am seeing a lot of two-person companies or hiring their first engineer or something like that. Or maybe even a dozen people or something. Although, like when you see a company with a dozen people, they're generally arranged in very specific product pods, but they tend to do everything, right? And so I don't think like developers' jobs are going away, and I don't think product managers' jobs are going away. I don't think designers' jobs are going away, but I do think they're becoming one. Like I think every developer now is becoming a product manager and a designer, and every designer is becoming a product manager and an engineer. And so I think this stuff is merging. And so with a small AI native team of a handful of people who are all doing all of the stuff and can use AI to define a go-to-market strategy that doesn't have to be a dedicated go-to-market engineer or something like that, you know, I think they can just ship super fast. And then, you know, I think that's really it. It's like, I believe in cross-functional teams, small cross-functional teams, which would be like, you know, in a pre-AI, I think my ideal pod would be like one designer, one product manager, two engineers. That's a small team. It's like maybe it fits into Jeff Bezos' two pizza team. And that team can build and ship a product and kind of know a lot of what needs to happen. You know, maybe there's a marketing person on that team or a copywriter or something like that. But now we're all cross-functional teams as ourselves. We are individual cross-functional teams, you know? And so from the two pizza team to like a one burger team is kind of what we've moved to. And now there's a lot of automation involved in making this stuff happen. There's a lot of work, a lot of setup, even just to put your social media on being done by an agent and sounding pretty good and being pretty on brand is a lot of work. A small team with many people, and one person focuses on the social media bot agent this week, and someone also is focusing on the code. But I think I think we've really seen how larger orgs are going to adapt to that kind of, you know, team, that squad.
I feel like just as you said that, it clicked, like as things are merging, as one person can do a lot of different things right now, it seems more or less as we're re-entering the polymath era that was during the Renaissance, like in some shape or form.
I do feel like it's like that. Yeah, I think that's a good one. The look, just to maybe to go back to like how I'm starting to help people. So, but one thing is, just through kind of circumstance, I've been fortunate to spend 10 to 12 hours a day for 6 months now using the AI tools. You know, we're still working on Scout Game, but like I said, my time is reduced on it. We've got a really well organized system. And I just have a lot of time to work on this stuff. And I didn't need to like go get a job and, you know, reduce my time again. So I've been playing with this stuff forever. Not forever, for 6 months, but a ton of time during those 6 months. And then I ultimately got to Claude Code, and I'm quite good at Claude Code, and I can build. It is a weird superpower to have when all you've ever wanted to do your whole life is build products, and now you have all of the capabilities yourself to build them fast, you know? It's like a very weird thing. But what I realized is like in all the chats, and actually other people started to point this out to me, I'm the only non-technical person in the chats. And by that, I mean like I'm in these Claude Code chats. There are all these 10X developers and me. And I can hold my own, certainly through the conversation. I think if we had to open up a code editor, I would lose that competition, but I never really have to do that. And so then I just started thinking about like, oh, the best engineers have the best tools right now. Now, I think there are great tools like ChatGPT Agent or N8N or even just, you know, whatever, ChatGPT itself for all of the peoples. But the developer tools are way ahead. And by that, I mean, developers are the only ones who really have tools that are like 10xing or 100xing their velocity. And I didn't quite realize that was happening. It was like, great, I love to build products. Everyone else who loves to build products must be doing this too. And then I realized like, oh, the product people are not using these tools. They heard about the tools. They maybe try it out on a weekend, but they're not really fully using it. And in this world where we're all coming together to be these polymaths, it's like, oh, my product friends are going to lose out because they don't have access to the greatest tools and they're not trying it. And so then I started just offering workshops specifically to product people and then a little bit wider to just non-technical people. And my promise, and it's true, is in 2 days, we'll launch an app. You could go from never writing a line of code to launching an app, and I focus on Claude Code, and I mostly teach how to use Claude Code. And in my head, you know, I'm in that place where we discussed where it's like, oh, you need these AI native orgs. The old orgs are dead. Like the product people must be coming to me because they want to, that's the kind of disruption they imagine. And then actually to my surprise and delight is no, they're there to make their organizations better. They want to know how they can be force multipliers on their team. A lot of them want to bring AI to their team, to their engineers, but feel like, well, I'm not really using it myself. I don't really know what I'm talking about. It's hard for me to like bring this to the team, you know? I think like 2 days of intensive using Claude Code, you have all of the light bulb moments, you know, even if you're not an expert, how your team might be using this. What does this mean for your team? And then have you return back to your team after 2 days of being able to help? And then there's help, that help kind of is one, like literally being in the code base, even if it's just for copy changes, like engineers don't want to fix your copy, you know? So that's like a simple way to do it. But a bigger one that I've seen people get excited about is prototyping. And like, hey, my engineering team is going to write the real code, but I can at least present a working prototype of what I'm talking about now. And so that's kind of an interesting way that I see people with traditional jobs trying to empower themselves to bring it into the org.
That's honestly a very interesting point, like how also, which is has been happening to some extent in crypto as well, from what I can see, is like how the change is going bottom up rather than always going top down.
Yeah, I think that's true of a lot of things. I think classic Slack was like this bottoms up thing where you would get a couple of, one team would use Slack and then another team want to communicate with them, they'd have to use Slack, and then Slack would run through the organization. By the way, Slack is like... maybe underappreciated disruptive organizational change. Because before Slack, we like had email and phone calls, and that is like not a thing at all.
It's true.
So Slack is one of them. I think Figma was bottom up, where teams just brought it in, and it looks like kind of AI is going that same route. Oh, the slight difference that we are, like the organization wants you to use AI, right? The CEOs all know that we need to be doing this. Probably I'm talking about product people who don't understand the tools. Imagine the CEO of a big company. Is probably just getting their AI information from the Wall Street Journal. So they don't really, a lot of cases, they don't really know how to push organizational change, you know, but they're generally supportive. And so there is kind of this top-down, bottom-up thing happening a little bit. I think. But totally, it's like people bring the tools.
What happens with middle management?
Yeah, I think that's probably the jobs that go away, frankly. But middle management can contribute. Like you can become a contributor. Actually, I think maybe a lot. I have two thoughts on management. One, I think it's going to be a world for contributors, right? Small teams of contributors where everyone contributes. And like no one needs to spend the week looking over the P&L. Like the machine gives you the P&L in minutes, right? So that's one, man. The other thing that I hear was like, okay, here's another thing about my journey here and why I started bringing it to product people. At first, like you had said, at first I was like just building a lot of things. And I've often like built myself into a corner, not like a technical corner, but it was like, wow, I spent 2 days on this feature that why would I even build this feature? Like no one would ever use this feature. I built it because I could, and I thought it would be cool. And I started thinking it's like, I'm like doing a lot of this stuff alone. I'm like, man, even if I had one other person in the chat with me, they would have told me like, this is dumb. Why don't do this? But then what they didn't. So, you know, I was left to my own impulses and I started building all of this stuff. And at some point I realized like I have a career and like skill set in product management, and I'm not doing any of the product management stuff. I'm just building, I'm just building things because I can, you know, it's like I have clay, I'm just sculpting. So then I started to reapproach, you know, I think I shifted from vibe coding to what I think of now as like agentic engineering. But I think that switch was like, great, what if I like actually have a PRD before I started? And it's pretty common practice now amongst them. Agentic developers. But what if I had a PRD first? Great. What if I broke that PRD down into stories? What if I just worked on one story at a time and tested it and made sure it worked? And then I just, everything just clicked and everything I built was so much better. And so it was like, oh, the product stuff is actually very important in the building of products. The words coming out of my mouth even sound ridiculous, but when you have all the tools, it's easy not to realize that or not forget that, you know. And then by the way, these 10x devs in the chat, they were doing amazing things, but I would see them kind of missing some of the management aspect of it. You know, they were like managing their own time, but not managing the agent. And so I started thinking to myself, like, every product person can do this because it is like managing your product team. And maybe people haven't quite got it yet. You're really managing agents. They're not so good. We have not hit general artificial intelligence. So they're not that great where they can be unmanaged. So you're like heavily managing. And if you have a skill set in managing people and prioritizing tasks, I think that translates very well to this kind of agentic world.
Yeah, it's like really taking things one step at a time. And maybe even because right now it seems like I personally see it. The first time I saw it that AI unlocks sort of like a skill tree.
Yeah, totally.
In this case, it's like really taking it gradually and expanding, like going from the center from where you are and going step by step, testing, reiterating and continuing.
Yeah, and then kind of the mental shift, the mind twist is that, well, now you've just slowed down. So you went from like moving so fast to like, oh, now I have tests. And instead of like trying to one-shot this thing or doing huge features, I'm doing little things at a time. And you start to tell yourself like, oh man, I'm going so slow. And then you just kind of have to step back and say, I'm still moving 20 times the speed of a normal team, right? Like, I feel like I've slowed down. I'm still moving so fast. And by the way, the results are better. This is better overall, you know? Yeah, I think it's just kind of interesting. You move so fast that when you slow down to try to do it in a more methodical way, all of a sudden you feel like, oh my God, I slowed down. But then when you think about it, you're like, but I'm still going so fast.
Yeah, a lot faster than before. Also, like the parallel that I'd like to draw here is that it seems, especially the crypto space, for years it has been stuck in that loop of like, let's go faster, let's go even faster, when maybe it's time to just take a look and the path will show.
Yeah, look, I my excitement in crypto is with AI is sort of twofold right now. A lot of it's just around tooling. I think there was this whole wave of agents who are going to trade for you, and some of that stuff is cool, or like personifying a social account, really amazing when we first saw it. But where I think the real value is and one, in building great tools for crypto devs. And so Celo has an MTP server, easier than ever to develop on Celo. Farcast, there are tons of kind of LLM tooling and documents that make it easier to build a crypto or a mini app. There's a popular MCP server called Context 7, which just has the latest documentation. And this is great when your agents always know the latest documentation, because they often are working from like a year old documentation by themselves. But now they have the latest documentation. And then if you dig into like, well, what documentation does Context 7 have? You'd be surprised at how much crypto stuff is in there. You know? So I think platforms and protocols are making it easier for developers to build. Now, the flip side is like crypto has always just been harder to build apps on. It's just a little bit more complicated, working with wallets, working with transactions. It kept a lot of people away and it stopped a lot of rapid prototyping. And so as that becomes like easier to do, and anyone, you know, we're still not at the point where anyone can really build these things, but we're getting close and you can see that, you know. But imagine a world where anyone with a Farcaster account can build a mini app. We'll see a lot more experimentations, and with a lot more experimentation, we'll find product market fit.
It's true. But even considering that you said, like, I would say like on Farcaster, probably that's a lot closer reality than being everywhere else, considering how technical the crowd is, even like the vast majority of the crowd.
Sure. Sure. So yeah. I think, look, there are tools like Lovable that bring down the barrier to everyone. I think we're not far away from everyone being able to do this stuff. Maybe even like you're speaking into your phone and the app manifests. That being said, I think there are tools for all positions and all people that exist. And certainly even with ChatGPT, you can prompt pretty powerful stuff. But you're right, we're not quite there where like anyone can do it. I do feel like I'm like a technical product manager, which helps, right? But we're getting there.
We are absolutely getting there, but even now it's like a small, the learning curve is incomparable to where it was before. So we're pretty much there, I would say, from my perspective.
This is where it's like the mental shift of time. Time is like this hard thing to grapple with, which is, you are totally right, that like just to build, even to build a basic thing, my homepage, as someone with no technical ability, you can totally do that today, right?
I'm curious, like even on this thing now that we're talking about non-technical roles, even on Scout Game, because you always, I assume, please correct me if I'm wrong, that you also had to collaborate with designers, and you had to collaborate maybe with marketing people that are not necessarily technical. I'm curious to hear, like, what has been, because even the gap to adoption and the gap to learning these things is much smaller right now. There's so much more noise at the same time. So I'm curious to hear from your perspective of what is maybe the process, what is the approach or the mental shift that needs to happen to actually unlock and get non-technical roles into the AI stuff and what you teach and help organizations with as well.
Yeah. So to some extent, I feel like we, in this period of time, we're like in this period of like self-starters and people who want to learn it, right? But let me just tell you this story here, which was at some point at Scout Game, we all started using AI without telling each other. And also, I think like even maybe 8 months ago, 9 months ago, there was like a little bit of a taboo around the fact that like, hey, I use AI to help write this blog post, right? Or like, hey, these social posts were done with the help of AI. So I'm not saying we were keeping secrets from each other, but we were certainly not information sharing. And then, you know, at first, like the developer teams, we totally unlocked it. I actually mentioned something on one of our developer calls, and then someone else was like, oh, I'm using it. And someone else was like, oh, I'm using it too. Then we decided to buy everyone Cursor accounts. And then there's great knowledge sharing amongst developers teaching each other how they use tools. And what I hadn't realized at that moment was that like everyone else was also using their own tools. And it wasn't until like slowly through conversations I realized like, great, everyone's experimenting with this stuff. And then I looked up and it's like, as a team, we are moving so fast. Everyone must be using AI. It's like impossible otherwise. So that was like that bottoms up thing. Then it was like, hey, everyone, we're all using AI. Do you know we're all using AI? And like we came to that like shared understanding. They're like, hey, we're all using this stuff. So now let's share what we're doing. Right? And it could be more like, hey, I'm not just going to share you the final PRD. I will share you the final PRD. But also here's this whole chat thread I have about it, right? And so now the designer can see kind of my train of thought and the feedback coming from it. And so in that sense, be more in line. And then I just really think it was that once we all realized we were using it, we all started. One thing about AI is the space right now is there's a lot of noise. And also I feel like there's just a lot of informal knowledge sharing. All of my best Claude code tips and tricks have come from a group chat, not from Twitter, not from a PR, not from a press release, you know? So there's a lot of like informal knowledge sharing. So I think when you get your team together, you just got to sort of informally share. In fact, if I was on a team at a corporation where I was the only one using this stuff, I would go out of my way to show people how I was using it because it's actually quite easy to use, right? People can be intimidated by it, but it's super easy. So I would go out of my way to like show people, not hide that I'm doing it. I would show people that I'm doing it and how I'm doing it.
Well, that's also one really interesting point that you mentioned there is how then just rather than just giving the result out there, you can show your line of thought so other people really understand what the idea is and what you're really trying to convey in the first place.
Yeah, because, you know, and then there's like just some basic game theory, which is you can be a superhero, like, wow, the team thinks you're amazing, like you're doing amazing work. Like, I think without question, when you harness these tools, you're doing better work, faster and better. And so one, you can start and you're using these tools in secret and you're doing amazing work. I bet that's like the dominant mode of how people inside bigger companies are using this stuff. Or you can share that you're using this stuff and teach all the people around you to do it. And then as an organization, you're going to move faster, right? So it's like the interesting game theory. It's like, do I want to be the superstar or do I want this team to move with modern velocity,
which could also be like steering a bit the conversation to like AI native teams like that as well, from my perspective, and I might be missing something here, but that sharing culture might be one of the biggest advantages actually of smaller startups compared to large organizations.
Yeah, I think that's true. Well, I think that's just generally true, but also some companies are doing a good job of like getting roles to like write your obligations for you, right? That's actually a pretty good way maybe to introduce a team to it, which is like, hey, all my role is I look at the team's bottlenecks and I use agents and workflows and prompts. I just construct, there's a role now where it's like, I just construct amazing prompts for my team and it helps them move faster, right? That's like a pretty good way of introducing the rest of your team to this stuff. I think with AI native teams, the information sharing is intense because like I said, like there's just a lot of this stuff is trial and error and experimentation. And so you have to like either ask for help or announce when you did something amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I was heavily accelerated in like an AI native team, you know?